Talking now with Dr. Daryl Peel, Oklahoma State University. Daryl, let's talk a little bit about maybe some of the overriding issues of impacting our livestock markets right now, and then get down to the cattle market after that. But first of all this stuff going on right now on Wall Street, the meltdown of the stock market, the downturn in a lot of different sectors, trouble with banks and some of the retailers and even some of the meat companies, that has a real impact on what we end up getting for our cattle at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the danger here is the tentacles of this thing really reach a lot farther than perhaps we realize. And I don't think we know the extent of that yet, frankly. The core issue is really not ultimately the major issue. It's all of the things that are related to it and just how far those consequences would reach. But the one thing that is clear, at least in the very short run, is that we've got a tremendous squeeze on credit availability in this country, and that has implications for an awful lot of folks in terms of their ability to do business and continue to do business on a day-to-day basis.
How is that going to impact agriculture, or are we starting to see it impact agriculture, this squeeze on credit?
Well, I think at this point we're seeing it more in a little bit of an arm's length way. Obviously, the commodity markets and other things are paying close attention to these things. I don't know that we've really seen the impacts yet in terms of actual credit availability within agriculture, although I think the tone is there, and we've noted all fall really that lenders are already terribly concerned about high production costs, and now with any implications of a credit tightening, that's going to really put a squeeze on what they can allow producers to do.
Getting to the cattle market, first of all, maybe starting it back up the chain at the wholesale level, you were indicating that we're really seeing a different makeup of this wholesale box beef trade right now.
You know, that's been at play for well over a year in general, that it's not just pounds of meat that matters. It's what those pounds are, what the mix is. And that's a reflection of what U.S. consumers are doing in terms of the macroeconomic impacts on their lives, disposable income availability. They're still eating beef, but they're not eating as much middle meats, the high-end cuts. They're trading down into lower-valued products. And we clearly see that. And then the trade, frankly, the international trade, sort of exaggerates that in the short run. In that it tends to favor those middle and lower valued cuts, the end meats rather than the middle meats. So for all of those reasons, we're seeing a different makeup there and a relatively different value of the total value that's coming from different parts of the animal.
So maybe not quite as much value there in the high-end cuts versus those middle cuts or lower-end cuts. We're kind of flattening out a little bit.
Yeah, there is less of a spread in some sense, and what you see is that middle meats have struggled all year in terms of just overall value. And we've actually seen very strong markets for the middle ends, and in the hamburger market in general has been very strong as a result of these conditions.
Now, if we think about, I think the other thing you mentioned was the drop credits, the high and awful values as well.
Yeah, and again, some of that's the same issue in terms of the demand generally for some of the actual variety meats. A lot of those are going into export markets, but they're an indication of strength in demand for those markets. The other part of it is the tallow side, and we're getting an awful lot of strength in the tallow market, really, that's coming from ultimately from the biofuels demand related to that.
Are we going to see, we're starting to see some signs of life of the dollar. It's shot, it's kind of been volatile like everything else is right now. Is that going to impact us the rest of this year on some of these export deals?
Well, it certainly will. I mean, part of our export strength in general across the economy has been the relatively weak dollar. It has made us attractive. And that's part of the mechanism that corrects things. We worry about trade imbalances, but when it gets too far out of line and folks are not comfortable continuing that, then you begin to see the value of the dollar adjust. And it's not an instant process, and it certainly can be a painful process, but I think you have started to see that. So as you see a little bit of strength in the dollar relative to the other things, then that begins to temper exports relative to imports. The overriding factor in the short run will be this overall macroeconomic situation and the implications not only in the U.S. but in global markets in general.
Right. And as we think about getting back to those pens of cattle and those herds of cattle that we've got out there in the countryside, you're indicating that there is more variation and we need to pay more attention than ever before on the weight of cattle as we market them.
Clearly, the cattle industry has a considerable flexibility in the way we produce cattle, and really it's the way we produce meat. The job of this industry ultimately is to produce an animal that's ready for slaughter, that produces an acceptable carcass. But the mechanism to get there, if you think in total from cow-calf all the way through the cattle feeding stage, we have a lot of flexibility in this industry to change basically the proportions of forage and grain that we use. But in order to do that in a complex system with multiple market levels, you have to get the right price signals in the market to give everybody the right incentive to make those adjustments. And that's what we're seeing now with the adjustments in the price-to-weight relationship for feeder cattle in particular is driving not only what feedlots are doing, it's really driven by what feedlots want to do, but it's providing very strong incentives for these stocker guys basically to put more weight out in the country.
And you were saying, like, for example, that, you know, a four-weight steer might have a lot more value to sell compared to even a five-weight steer because of the differential on the prices.
The same indication that we should be putting more weight on is, in a broad sense, a retained ownership signal for a cow-calf producer. What I was pointing out this morning is that there's a fairly sharp break there, and putting on a little bit of weight actually isn't worth very much. It's sort of it's a bigger question. You need to decide either to sell these calves as lightweight weaning calves at a fairly high price, or you need to commit to putting quite a bit of weight on them and capture that value once you cross that break point. But right now, around for a steer, around 550 pounds is a fairly sharp break in price, and you need to be on one side or the other. You don't want to just straddle it on either side of that line.
What sort of opportunities does that leave us then for the stocker guy? Maybe the guy's got some pasture, or might, in some cases, they've got at least a few folks thinking about wheat pasture this year. What's their strategy then?
Well, I think you got a couple choices. One is you can just think about buying a bigger animal to begin with. So you buy something that's over 550 pounds as a starting weight, and then you can take them up to 950 pounds with relatively little rollback and a pretty high value gain. The other choice is if you're going to buy them lighter than that and you're going to go over that sharp price break, you need to be committed again to a longer-term program to put enough total weight on those animals to overcome that. And so you need to be thinking about not going to 650 or 750 pounds, but at least to 850 to 950 pounds with those animals.
Overall strategy, when you start, thinking about maybe not so much the price, fluctuations from week to week, but the overall strategy in these type of turbulent times for our cattle producers.
Well, the short-run risk is just phenomenal right now on both the buying and selling, and we're seeing in cattle, in most commodities, we're seeing a tremendous amount of very short-run volatility. And, you can manage some of that. You can't ultimately manage all of it, but you certainly need to, if you're in a margin-type business, you need to think about locking in both ends of that margin. There's oftentimes we use the futures market, for example, on stocker cattle to give us maybe an expectation for the selling price of those animals. But if you don't actually take a position and in some manner lock in or take advantage of what the market's offering, in the market we have today, those opportunities disappear off the table very quickly, and they may not come back. And so that's sort of the lesson there.